Parenting sucks sometimes. It's not like you see on TV. It's not like you see on Pinterest. And it's not what the perfect Facebook moms try to make it seem. Kids are loud. Kids break things. Kids always make messes. On Kids for Sale, we explore the reality of being parents. The parts that aren't fun. The parts that nobody wants to admit to each other. Because being a parent is hard. And sometimes the only thing that makes it easier is hearing how bad it sucks for someone else. So join us on Kids for Sale every other Friday on the Journey into Comics Network.
The following is a Journey into Comics Network production.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Podcastrophy episode 43. I am your host, Dick. Tyler is yet again not here. It's been a rough 2 weeks without him. This last Saturday was his last day at Subaru, and you know it was very sad. It bummed me out. I was almost completely defeated that day because I was told that I was going to be working on another team. So I'm like, fuck, I don't get to work with my best friend on his last day here. So, but about an hour or so into it, whoever I was filling in for actually showed up and came in. So I got to go back to my team and work with Tyler, one last time. And, yeah, it was a good day. It was a decent day. We went to good old DT Kirby's. Couple people from the team afterwards, and it was a good time. Miranda and I came, we brought the kids, and yeah. So I don't really have much to talk about today. We got a lot coming up this weekend with LaFeeCon, so this is really just going to be a brief, like, fill you guys in type episode. I have a few things I want to talk about, but for the most part, it's just going to be, yeah, telling you guys about LaFeeCon and what to expect, what to bring. LaFeeCon, it's this Saturday, June 29th. Actually, no, June 29th is Friday. Let me check. Yeah, June 29th is Friday. It is a Saturday, June 30th, and this Sunday, July 1st. So go down to Carnahan Hall and have a blast at LaFeeCon. The Journey into Comics crew will be hosting its 200th episode live there, along with several other panels, including, what was his name? I can't remember his name, but had Jonathan Tyler, Christopher Tyler? Yeah, I think that's his name. He was awesome last year. They did two panels with him last year, and he was just a blast to listen to, so please go down, check it out. I can't remember what the pricing is for getting in, but you know, come on down, check out some geeky shit, watch us make asses of ourselves on stage, and you know, come hang out with us. A lot of the Journey into Comics crew will be there. Nick Maxon, he's gonna be working there too, from Brews with Dudes. He's also running the game room. There's gonna be a Smash Bros tournament, several other video games, and Settlers of Catan. Lots of stuff. Yeah, so Saturday, Sunday, June 30th, July 1st, check out LaFeeCon down at Carnahan Hall. So this weekend, I went and saw Incredibles 2 with the girlfriend and her kids. It was an excellent sequel to the first. I mean, it's been I think 15, 16 years since the first Incredibles. I'm not going to go into spoiler details because, you know, I don't have anybody here to talk about it with. So I'm just going to say, hey, it was an excellent sequel. I had a blast watching it. It was really cool to see those characters again from my childhood. And the only thing I noticed, that the only thing that was really weird was they changed the actor, the child actor for Dash, which, I mean, makes sense. I mean, it's been like 15, 16 years since that. I mean, that kid's obviously grown up and more than likely has a way different voice. So obviously they had to change actors. Had to get me a drink from my 450 North Raspberry Passion Fruit Slurpee. It's my last one. I don't have any. I had to drink it. It's been a while. I've had this one for a while. Figured I'd get it out of the way for tonight. Incredibles 2, excellent movie. We brought the kids, and they were quiet the whole movie. Really, honestly, surprised me because they like to talk, and they like to talk and ask questions, and they don't sit still for very long. So it really shocked me that they were still and watched the movie the whole time. And there were other kids in the theater, and some people even brought their babies, which, for the love of fuck, don't bring your fucking baby to a movie. Like, what is the point? What, like, find a babysitter or don't go to the movie if you can't find a babysitter. Like, you are ruining other people's experience. Just, there's no place for a baby in a movie theater. You can't control them. A baby is... It's an agent of chaos, and that's episode title. I'm calling it right now. Baby is agent of chaos. But there were other kids, you know, they were talking here and there, but it wasn't bad. Like I said, Miranda's kids, they sat still. They were quiet the whole time. It was great. And I got to enjoy the movie, you know, I mean, not that I wouldn't have if they had talked. Like, they're kids. It's going to happen. And it's a kids movie. So everyone was really excited to see it. So I'm glad I got to see it. I'm glad that the kids had already seen it, apparently. Like I said, I was glad I got to see it. I was glad Miranda got to see it with me. It was a good time. And we left there, and the kids were ready to pass out. So... easy night. Easy night indeed. Moving on. So Monday night, Miranda and I had the night to ourselves, and we went and saw a little Jurassic World, The Fallen Kingdom, or I don't know if there's the in that, but Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. And once again, I'm not going to get into spoiler territory, so I'm just going to give you like a quick... like, what I think of it. Yeah, so... and I'm guessing, since Tyler already seen it, he saw it before me. So we're probably going to discuss it next week when he returns, and we are in a new house, new studio, new setting. We have... It's going to be better. It's going to be way better. Jurassic World... my son, Austin T. Welch... who I had to trick to be on the show, also needs to come back to Indiana to be on the show again in a real show, not just playing Cards Against Humanity. But he comments on the live feed, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom was hot garbage. I wouldn't say it was garbage. I enjoyed it. But at the same time, I don't know how I feel about it. I really don't know how I feel about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. It had a lot of cool moments. And it had a lot of moments that just... I didn't know. And it just... I saw it coming with the first movie, Jurassic World. I saw it coming. They were trying to turn this... beloved franchise from Jurassic Park, and like the first three films, while truly like fans can say unanimously. The first one is perfect. It's amazing. It's great. Second and third one, fans kind of started getting divided. Not as good. Obviously, most sequels aren't as good. It happens. The third obviously being the worst. And looking back, like, I loved it as a kid. I was in fifth grade when the third movie came out. So, like, as a kid, I was like, fuck yeah, dinosaurs! But looking back, I'm like, it's not as good as I thought. Because, and it was a trend that I was starting, like, look, once I started watching these as an adult, looking back, and so the trend starts Jurassic Park 3, and it moves on to Jurassic World. Way like 15 years later. Yeah. There's a good 15 years in between movies. And so Jurassic World, it still had it, while it held a lot of the same grandeur, and it made me feel like a little kid again watching that movie. I was geeking out hardcore the entire time, and it was so fantastic. I love Jurassic World, but I saw the trend. They are turning this franchise into action blockbusters, summer action blockbusters. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. It's not meant to be that. I mean, I can see maybe action thriller or thriller blockbuster. Those movies aren't meant to have those cheesy fucking, like, moments. Not that there's anything wrong with cheesy moments, but they just... I don't see them really belonging in Jurassic Park, in that universe. Like that entire end sequence to Jurassic World, complete. I mean, even at the time of watching it initially in the theater, it completely ruined basically that entire movie for me. You have all these. You have the final showdown with the Indominus Rex. Which the Indominus Rex was fucking badass. It was really cool for them to bring in like a hybrid type creature. And oh man, Austin Welch says Jurassic World 2 was plagued by a super predictable story. Yes. And Scooby-Doo villains. Also very yes. I'll get there. So back to the end sequence of Jurassic World 1. They're fighting. Like the Velociraptors are fighting the Indom. And then the Indom is like, nope, fuck you. I'm way bigger and really powerful, and you're just no match. And then it pans to the little kid, and he's like counting on his fingers inside a toy booth, like a gift shop toy booth. And I was like, what? What is this kid doing, and why is he just in this toy booth instead of trying to escape from the distracted Indominus Rex? Like, they were all just sitting there. That's another problem I have that continues throughout that entire scene. But he starts counting, and he's like, more teeth. Shut the fuck up, little kid. You shouldn't have lines at all. Anyway, so he says, more teeth. We need more teeth. And what is Claire, played by Dallas Bryce Howard? I think I got that name right. Anyway, she's like, goes to the T-Rex paddock and has Jake, whatever his fucking last name, awesome dude, very funny guy, loved his character in the first movie. He, however, was very absent in the second movie, and that bummed me out. But she's like, open the door, open the gate. And she lights a flare, which is a huge callback to the first movie, which is shown in the trailers. It's a big selling point in the trailers. And keep in mind, she also has high heels on. She is in heels. And it had shown her in previous scenes running in those heels. She is very capable of running in them. And all of a sudden, this T-Rex just comes out of the shadows, out of the darkness, towards the camera, towards her. And she just basically makes it chase her. T-Rexes can, I mean, they're big creatures. They were very large creatures, but they clocked, in the very first movie, they said they clocked a T-Rex going at 30 miles an hour or something like that. And I'm sorry, but a female, not okay, just a human being, not just a female, just a human being, more than likely a female, if wearing heels, they're not going to be able to run 30 miles an hour. They're not going to be able to escape this T-Rex. This T-Rex that was very fascinated and aggressive towards a flare. And so they're going and they're going. She leads this T-Rex to the Indominus Rex, and the Indominus, and then throws the flare onto the Indom, and the T-Rex starts attacking. They start fighting. And meanwhile, she's stuck in the middle and miraculously doesn't get crushed by any of their movement whatsoever. Just miraculously. Meanwhile, Chris Pratt and kids are all still in the toy booth. They're all still in the toy booth. Tyler is now watching the show. Welcome, Tyler, to the chat. But so they're just fighting. And like I said, they're all just still there instead of, you know, escaping. Like, I know it adds to the drama, it adds to the suspense, and movies, hashtag movies, gotta keep the audience entertained. But at what point do you sacrifice common sense and, or how much common sense and, you know, intelligence do you sacrifice for entertainment? Because, you know, there are people out there that actually enjoy, you know, intelligent scenes, intelligently played out scenes and acting and all that. And you just don't get that with this scene. You move forward and like the Indom seemingly kills or incapacitates the T-Rex. And you're like, oh shit, all hope is gone, all hope is lost. What do we do now? The Indominus Rex is going to kill the human protagonists. And out of nowhere, here comes Blue, the hero velociraptor that Chris Pratt has trained since birth. And distracts the Indominus Rex just enough for the T-Rex to rally. And, you know, they all team up, and it's just the cheesiest team up ever of dinosaurs just gangbanging another dinosaur until, and as soon as it started they started backing him up to the water, I was like, I swear to fucking God, if they do what I think they're about to do, I am done. And sure enough, the Indom is just like squaring up, staring at them, and out of nowhere, just before it attacks, just before it lunges forward to attack, the fucking Mosasaurus just pops on out and fucking eats the Indominus, like, and just drags it into the water. It's like, come on. Jurassic Park is better than this. Jurassic Park is better than this. You guys were so good. This movie was so good up until this fucking scene. And it makes me so angry because the movie was just so excellent and heartwarming. And it brought so many feelings and memories back from the first, at least the first movie, maybe the first three movies. I enjoyed all three movies, even as an adult, knowing that the second and third aren't as good, but I still enjoy those movies, and this whole scene just tears it all apart, making it an action flick. And Jurassic Park does not need to be an action flick. So all that shit that I just said, let's move forward to Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. This movie is through and through a goddamn action flick. It's a Hollywood action flick, and I don't like it. As Austin said, it had fucking a super predictable story, okay, which was given away mostly in the trailer. Like, in the trailer, you're like, oh, the first trailer, like, oh, the island's blowing up, we gotta go save the dinosaurs, come on Chris Pratt. He's like, no, I'm not gonna go, fuck those dinosaurs. And then they're like, You got, but blue's there. Don't you love blue? Ah. Oh, yes, that's another thing. Tyler, thank you for mentioning this. Tyler pops up in the chat and says, but the CEO, Mr. Miserani, whatever the fuck his last name is, the CEO flying a slap-together attack helicopter didn't bother you? Yes, that absolutely bothered me. Because it's just it's just another cheesy scene that the movie did not need. Jurassic Park deserves better than this, and that this is what we got. We got. Oh, your instructor, he's unavailable right now. He must have went with the rest of the people as they were trying to evacuate. He's like, it's okay. We don't need him. We have me. And he's like, not even certified to fly yet. Like, he has so many hours left to fly of flying time before he's certified and has his license. And he is gonna pilot this attack helicopter that they just slapped a minigun on to go take out the Indominus Rex. And he's like, we don't need him. We have me. I think the line exactly was, we have a pilot. I'm like, God damn it. Stop. That was like one of my first signs, if I remember right, that this movie was going downhill very fast. Like I said, the Indominus Rex was just beautiful and very, I loved how intelligent it was. I loved that they used several different species, not just Velociraptor and T-Rex, but the base genome was a T-Rex. And it was very obvious that it had Velociraptor in it, because it was just too smart. And that was one thing that they throw at you in every single Jurassic Park movie, is that Velociraptors are fucking smart. So, yeah, that's that. I hated that attack helicopter scene. Thank you, Tyler, for reminding me. Man, back to Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. So Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Once again, the first trailer drops. You think they're going there to save the animal, the dinosaurs from, because they're the last. They're de-extinct. And they're de-extinct, meaning if those dinosaurs go, they are re-extinct. What's up, Nate Phillips, Pod Daddy in the his house? Thank you for joining. You think, okay, this movie is just going to be them going to the island and saving the dinosaurs. And then another trailer drops. We go see Infinity War. Tyler and I go see Infinity War in theaters, and we get a new trailer for Fallen Kingdom, and it starts out basically the same, but out of nowhere you start seeing betrayals and you're like, oh god damn it. And then sure enough, it ends up back on mainland, and it's a parallel to the Lost World Jurassic Park. And they're like, oh, we made a new dinosaur. I'm like, dude, God, I wanted to just yell the entire trailer. But like, I didn't want to ruin other people's movie experience. But I remember telling Tyler almost immediately after the movie, without even discussing Avengers Infinity War, I discussed the trailer that came before it, which was Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom trailer number 2. And I was like, they just fucking ruined the entire plot of the movie with one trailer. And sure enough, I watched the movie. They did ruin the entire plot of the movie with one trailer. So we get a new species created from the remains of the Indominus Rex and a Velociraptor. And they hinted at it in the first movie. Good old Hoskins, he says to Chris Pratt's character, he says, and he looks at the Indominus Rex and says, imagine this thing a quarter the size, or half the size, whatever he said. Imagine this thing a quarter the size in the field. Sure enough, that's exactly what they do in the second movie. They make this thing called the Indoraptor. That's not spoiler. That's all in the trailer. And the Indoraptor was cool. It was very Raptory. Bryce Dallas Howard. I called her Dallas Bryce Howard earlier. Thank you, Tyler. Austin says, at one point towards the end of the movie, I sighed so loud that everyone turned and looked at me. Alex Taylor, thank you for joining and watching, says, I'm so disappointed. I haven't even seen it yet, and I want it to be good. I want it to be good, do good, do badly. I want it to be good, do badly. Life isn't fair. I don't know what you're trying to say at the end there, but I read it, so now people know. But no, I'm not saying don't go see it. I'm not saying don't go see it. Go see it. Form your own opinion. But be prepared because it's, oh, you want it to be good so badly. Okay. Thank you. She wanted it to be good so badly. No, go see it. Like, there's enough there that you can enjoy the movie. And I'm just... She says stupid fucking autocorrect. Yeah, it happens. But no, it's worth a watch, and it's just, it's super predictable, and while I like the movie, I have my qualms, and I really don't know how I feel about it, and I don't want them to keep doing this bullshit to Jurassic World. I want it to be over if they're just going to keep doing this. But we know that's not going to be a thing because Chris Pratt makes a lot of money. Chris Pratt makes studios a lot of money. The name Jurassic Park / World makes studios a lot of money. So it's the brand is just too powerful to stop making movies. Go for it, Alex. I fucked the shit out of Chris Pratt. I certainly did. I bet Miranda did too. I don't blame her. I'm pretty sure Tyler did. I would not be surprised. Chris Pratt is fucking beautiful. But yeah. So, once again, Tyler says, we got to see a Carnotaurus and Allosaurus, though, and that made my heart happy. I really wish, because that was, spoiler, you see an Allosaurus, and it's just a juvenile. It's a smaller Allosaurus, and, oh, man, it was cool. I really wanted to see, like, a full-size Allosaurus, so Allosauruses were badass dinosaurs, supposedly. Allegedly. So, yeah, go see Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Form your own opinion. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't, but I mean, you're getting story and you're getting content, and I think that's important because there was a lot of stuff that connects to the original movies, and there was a lot of stuff like, and you get background information that makes you understand what went into the original park, and I think that was really cool. I thought that was really, really fucking cool. There's also a big twist that I didn't see coming, and it's very unimportant to the overall story and movie, I think, but it's still really cool at the same time. But yeah, go see it. Worth a watch. If you have MoviePass, you don't even have to spend money. I highly recommend MoviePass because, like I said, you go see a movie that you don't like, cool. You didn't spend any money on it, except for like the $10 a month or however much it is now. So moving on, Rest Repose. I have some Rest Repose news. I went and saw them a couple weeks ago in Berwyn, Illinois, basically Chicago. And it was a fun time. It was a really good time. Shortly after that, I guess, their singer Tanner started experiencing like, vocal troubles. He thought he had laryngitis or something, and ended up, he did his best to take care of it. Finally almost got he was singing at lower octaves. And I noticed that in our set, he was singing, the first half of the set, he was singing certain parts in lower octaves, which is pretty normal if you're trying to take care of your voice and go for the long game. But, well, yeah, Monday night he posted a live video on Instagram, and I watched it. It was kind of lengthy, but he was recording from home, basically saying, "Hey, I'm no longer on the tour," and he went and saw a doctor, and the doctor basically just told him, "Hey, you just had a cold." that was all that was wrong. But I guess the guys in Rest Repose sent him home, and they weren't happy with his performance, and they sent him home. And so he was very upset, very distraught in the video. Several times you could see his eyes watering, and it was a very emotional video, basically saying all of this because I had a cold. And so next day or so, because this is Wednesday. Next day, yesterday, I'm going to pull it up. They released a statement, and let me see if I can find the post. They released a statement in which they didn't want to, It's so weird talking and trying to control all this shit at the same time. It's so much better when I have a partner. I need you, Tyler. I need you so much. Help me, Tyler McLaughlin. You're my only hope. Anyway, so they released a statement, and he's like, and before I read the statement, Tanner said he doesn't know if he is still in the band or not, and this basically answered that question. So Rest Repose posted yesterday at 12:58 p.m. "We would like to address something that happened while on tour before rumors began to spread. We would like to avoid as much drama as possible, and it is not our intention to talk bad of anyone. Some of you may already know that we, as a band, decided to part ways with our singer, Tanner. This decision was not based on one night, one week, one month, etc. It was a culmination of things over the last year that came to a head on the road. Tanner is a good singer, but just being a good singer doesn't always cut it. In this group, we found that he is not the right frontman for us. There were issues we had with his smoking and drinking hurting his voice, overall lack of care for his instrument, and promises that were made to us as a band that he did not keep. There are other reasons as well, however, we feel they do not need to be said out of respect for Tanner. We will be finishing our tour with Tony stepping up as vocalist." Tony's their bass player right now. "Tony stepping up as vocalist, along with help from our good friend Austin Dickey, Brian Butcher in the home team, and Lee Mintz from Drusev Stalin's band. We wish Tanner the best of luck in his future endeavors, but as far as this band is concerned, this is where we part ways. As we said, it is not our intention to talk bad of Tanner or start any type of drama battle. We hope he only goes upward from here. We look forward to solidifying a new frontman and writing new music when we get home from tour. In the meantime, come out to one of our remaining shows on tour and see a very special performance we've all worked very hard on to keep this tour rolling for you all." So yeah, that bummed me out quite a bit. And because I really enjoy Tanner as a frontman. I really enjoy his voice. I enjoy his lyrics. Their previous guy, Vince, he was really good, but he just wasn't. So he was really good, and I don't know what happened there with him, but once I heard Tanner, it was over. I knew, like, that was the guy. That was the guy I wanted in this band, and I was very happy that he was in this band. I loved his lyrics, I loved his voice, I loved the music that they were putting out with him. And so when they released their CD, I loved that fucking CD. It was my favorite CD from 2017, a close second being The Send and the Sentence from Trivium. And so it really bums me out to see him no longer in the band. I really hope he comes out with, he gets off his feet or gets back on his feet and makes something new. And I want to be there when he does, because I think it's going to be great. It sucks that happened to him, you know, and he clearly is, he's, I think he, whatever he did wrong, or I think he's going, I think he learned his lesson, hopefully. And I hope he uses this experience to only go forward. He's made a fan of me, so I'll keep following him and his endeavors. I'm a big fan of Jared Dines and Ryan Fluff Bruce, so I'm going to keep following Rest Repose because the music that they create is just, it's astounding. And I really enjoy Ryan Bruce's guitar playing. Like, he's just a riff machine. It's not all super solo-y, and it's just badass riffage. I really enjoy that. So I'm gonna keep following them. Hopefully their next singer is excellent too. Singers can be pretty make or break for me. And I think that goes for a lot of people who typically a lot of people who don't play instruments tend to focus on the singer, the frontman. Excuse me. And because that's the human aspect of it. That is where people connect, is through lyrics and singing. So hopefully it's good. That's all I can really say about that. Hopefully it's good. I hope it is. So bad, because I don't want to stop listening to them because of the vocals, because the music is so badass. But I have a hard time listening to music where I don't enjoy the vocals, no matter how badass the music is. If I don't enjoy the vocals, I'm probably not gonna listen. So yeah, good luck to Tanner. I've actually reached out to him before on his Instagram and mentioned something about being on this show, so hopefully we can get him on the show at some point, and maybe he can talk about all this in a positive light. I would never want him to trash the guys. I would never want, if I had them on there, I wouldn't want them to trash him. I just want to know the story. I just want to know the story. But moving onward, I don't really have much else to say. Here coming up, we're going to have some changes. We're going to be next week. We are moving our live stream to next Tuesday, probably roughly around 5:30 again. And we're going to be in a new house, new studio. I'm going to work very hard to, Monday we're moving into the house and Tuesday I'm going to have to work my ass off to get the studio set up so that we can use it. So moving into new house, new studio, recording space. It's going to be an adventure because I'm going to be living with a new roommate, Mr. Joe, former guest for two straight episodes. I've known him for about 6 years now. I've known him as long as I've been at Subaru. And I'm also moving in with Miranda. She is moving in with me and her kids. So that's going to be an experience. It's been a long time since I've lived with a girlfriend, but I've had good experiences living with girlfriends. Despite it not working out with them, it wasn't because I lived with them. I had no issue. I'm very easy to get along with. And, you know, girlfriends, I don't really count them as roommates. So, because you have a whole different level of connection and a whole different bond and communication when you have a significant other that you live with. Like, you just work together on a whole different level than, say, if you live with a friend, where you have to sometimes get to a point where you feel like you have to walk on eggshells with them. And that's never fun. I mean, unless you're like super fucking upfront and assertive, which I am not always. I have a hard time. Anxiety sometimes gets the best of me, and I have a hard time communicating things that I feel are wrong, things that I feel need to get done around the house. I tiptoe around being like, hey, could you do those dishes? Like, they've been sitting there for 2 weeks. Can you do those dishes? I have a hard time saying that because, you know, it's a very low form of confrontation. And so it's easier to let it go and not say anything than and let them sit there and it not get done and then bitch about it to somebody else. Like, it's so much easier to do that. And then nothing gets done. Nothing gets accomplished. It sucks. But sometimes some people are like that. I'm like that. And it sucks. But hopefully I get better about that. Who knows? We got a lot of changes to the show. Hopefully going to be on next Tuesday. That is the goal. We will keep you updated. Live stream will be here. We are upgrading our production value with the live stream. We ordered some new lights, and they just came in today. I can't wait to set them up and see how they change, the video quality. Tyler may or may not have a new microphone by then, so we'll see. We're gonna have a futon for guests to sit on. Still no table. Sorry, Aaron Sperling, no table. That's just not how we do on Podcastrophy. We don't need tables. And Mr. Joey Mullins, I'm guessing some relation to Bobby Mullins of Nerds of the Roundtable podcast, that for some reason thinks this is Nerds of the Roundtable podcast or whatever the name of his podcast is. This is not Nerds of the Roundtable podcast. I just share this to the Nerds of the Roundtable group that is fairly local with people from Lafayette, Indiana. And somehow I get confused with the Nerds of the Roundtable podcast. So yes, Tyler will be back, and yeah, his shoes will more than likely be off, and you'll see his feet on camera. Enjoy. I don't know what else to say about that. Like, we had some. Hey, Ben Wagner, I don't know who you are, but thank you for the compliment. He said, sick stash, my dude. Yeah, this is just a preview. If you really want to see what this stash, this handlebar is all about, come to LafayCon, Carnahan Hall, Saturday and Sunday, June 30th and July 1st. And you'll see what I'm doing with this thing. It's going to be fun. I talked about it earlier. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. It's going to do the best. So come on down. I can't remember the prices, but you know, it's not going to break you. It's going to be cheap. I'm pretty sure kids are free. Yeah. We're also, Tyler and I have also been, toying around with the idea of separating, the audio podcast from the live stream and just doing two separate things. The live stream just being more fun. And I mean, we're going to record both, but, the live stream just being more fun and hanging out with the fans, while the audio podcast will just record whenever, and you get that every Thursday on the Journey into Comics Network. Subscribe to Journey into Comics on Podbean, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, all that shit. And you get several other podcasts like Brews with Dudes every Saturday, Journey into Comics every Monday, Pour a Pour every Tuesday, alternating Foodies Watching Movies and Adulting Ain't Easy every Wednesday. They alternate every other week. You get me on Podcastrophy, me and Tyler, every Thursday. And then every Friday alternating is The Voice of Survival and Kids for Sale. Kids for Sale and Adulting Ain't Easy, both brand new podcasts on the network, both fantastic. You get to, and they're kind of similar in their own ways, but just dealing with different aspects of life, but they're both excellent shows, and I highly encourage you guys to listen to both of those shows. This week, you heard the bumper for Adulting or Kids for Sale, and if you're listening, that comes on tomorrow, Friday, June 29th. I got it right this time. So that comes on tomorrow if you're listening, Friday if you're watching. Yeah, I think that'll just about do it. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching and commenting. Please tune in every, probably from now on, every Tuesday around 5:30 for the live stream. Comment, chat, we'll respond. But if you're listening, every Thursday, that remains the same. We now have a donate. We have a way for you guys to donate directly to us. So whatever amount of money you want to voluntarily donate to us, we do not require it. It is just to help us out. It helps us, helps pay for hosting, or eventual hosting, gear, and it'll help pay for future merchandise that we can do. And it's just, it's good to help out. But like I said, you don't have to do it. It's completely voluntary. It just helps us out. So if you want to, or you can donate to the Journey into Comics Patreon. $1 gets you early access to every episode as soon as they're ready. $3 gets you that plus some bonus content. So head on over to patreon.com/journeyintocomics and you'll get, you can pledge some money to us. And but if that is all, that is all. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. We'll be back next week. I've been Dick, and please make every day a big Dick day. Bye, guys.
Woke up this morning with my dick in my hand. Girlie's to the right of me, just like I planned. It's gonna be a big dick day. 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 Yeah.